Amateur Radio Club Tipsnet. This is Kilo One Delta Charlie Tango. My name is Dave. I'm located in the town of Preston. I will be your net control station for this evening. Membership in Tri-City Amateur Radio Club is not necessary for participation. All licensed amateurs are welcome to check into the net, and those that do not wish to check in are certainly welcome to stand by and listen. This net operates on 147.060 repeater with a PL tone of 156.7 Hz. If needed, the secondary is 146.97 with a PL tone of 157.7 Hz. Net is held each Wednesday, starting at 7 p.m. local time, with various net controllers on a rotating basis. This net is intended to provide an informal operating environment for new operators as well as for experienced amateurs. The purpose of the net is to provide a venue for presenting questions and obtaining answers and comments, advice related to amateur radio. Also to promote good fellowship among amateur radio operators and to encourage the use of good operating procedures. Let me reset.
Good evening.
The time is 7 p.m. on Wednesday, August 28th.
Now back to the show already in progress. The TIPSnet is a directed open net. That means we call for a round of check-ins, and when we have everyone checked in, we'll go down to the list for comments and questions. During the check-in, please state if you have a question for the net. We'll ask for your questions after everyone has checked in. There are three sections to the TIPSnet. First, the open rounds of questions and comments. Second, there'll be a section for announcements of upcoming events and items of interest. And third, there's an opportunity for those who wish to swap, sell, or trade, or seeking amateur radio items. Unless otherwise directed, all communications should be directed to the net control station. When checking in, please say, "This is..." Release the push to talk and listen to ensure no one else is keyed up at the same time you have. Then slowly give your call sign phonetically, along with your name and location, noting if you have a comment or a question. This is Dave, K1 Delta, Charlie Tango, your net control for this evening. We'll start taking check-ins now. Please come with your call sign slowly.
Here it is. Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey 1 Romeo. Let me do that again. Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo. It's in the city of Preston.
Good evening, here is. Hello, Alpha 6, Papa Delta Golf. Kevin in Norwich, a couple of thoughts / questions about propagation stuff tonight.
Here is. Kilo 1, Romeo, Mike, November. Bob in Montville, no questions at this time.
Charlie 1, Lima, Tango, Foxtrot. This is David in London. I have no questions.
Kilo Charlie 1, Kilo Lima Whiskey, Jerry in Preston.
No question at this time.
All right, well, that was a pretty good call up first time around. We have KC1TWR, K6PDG with a couple of questions. I was questionable about whether they were questions or not. K1RMN, the KC1, have Lima something Foxtrot. I missed the center letter there. I didn't pick up on that, so if you could come back and give me that letter and your name again, please.
This is Kilo Charlie 1, Lima Tango Foxtrot, and my name is Jesus, and I'm in New London.
All right, David, thank you very much. I got it. Just don't hear as well as I used to. So, and I'll have KC1KLW. Good to hear you, Jerry. So, a nice little round of check-in. So, we'll get to Kevin's questions, and then I'll cycle back to the top of the list and give everyone a fair shot at them. K6PDG, this is K1DCT in the TIPS net.
Dave, good to hear everybody, and good to hear David. LTF, I thought he'd fallen off the edge of the earth there. Really good to hear you, David. Okay, so a couple of comments and then my questions. That's typical of me, right? So Jerry happened to mention to me last night or this morning that he had some questions about tropospheric ducting and that sort of thing. So I went online and I wanted to make sure that when I explained it to him that I had all my vocabulary correct. And there's a page apparently called Ham Radio Wiki or Amateur Radio Wikipedia or something like that. So I kind of reviewed my knowledge about tropospheric ducting and the vocabulary I would use when trying to explain it to someone. And then I came across another thing on the list of propagation types that they had information on called lightning scatter. I think I got that right, lightning scatter, which I hadn't heard of before in all my born days. So apparently lightning scatter, let me reset. To do with signals that are, I guess, reflected or refracted or whatever off of the ionization caused by lightning, and that it can go up to about 700 miles in distance. Typically, the thunderstorm in question should be about halfway between the two stations that are communicating. So here are my questions. Number one has to do with tropospheric ducting. One thing I learned that I didn't know was that the thicker the inversion layer, the lower the frequency at which tropospheric ducting can occur. So my question is, can tropospheric ducting affect the 10-meter band? That's question number two. And let me reset. Question number two, which I got thinking, and that's always a dangerous thing. Back in the day when the Connecticut State Police were on 42 megahertz and we all had those frequencies in our scanners at home, I remember a couple of times, and only a couple of times, quite rare, actually being able to pull in some signals briefly from the California Highway Patrol on 42.550 right here at my house in Connecticut. Of course, again, very rare. But I wondered, would that be caused by tropospheric ducting, meaning the inversion layer would have to be extremely big, geographically speaking, or might that more likely have been caused by lightning scatter or some other phenomena that I'm not thinking about? So one is about ducting on 10 meters, and two is about hearing stuff on the other side of the country on 42 megahertz. KA6PDG, back to net.
Well, that's certainly some interesting stuff, and I'm going to have to dig out my my ARRL handbook, because I know it exists, but I didn't read up on it today. But maybe Tim is all read up on this, so we'll cycle back to the top, and then we'll skip over Kevin, and everybody get a fair shot at this. So let's go to KC1TWR for any comments about TROPO on 10 meters. And if, you know, the low band VHF, which is not that far from 10 meters, you know, could that have been caused by TROPO, or could it be something else? So, KC1TWR, this is K1DCT in the tip stack.
K1DCT, this is KC1TWR. I don't know that much about 10-meter troposphere conducting. I do know that 10-meter, part of 10-meter is open for technician class licensees. That's always fun. And I know that there's a 10-meter net that takes place. I think it's on Wednesday, maybe Thursday, that's held. Anyhow, to get back to the matter at hand, last night I happened to be up doing something at the Raytheon Repeater Shack, and they got a good example of turboducting. As a matter of fact, I recorded a bit of it. It was in video because it was my cell phone. But the repeater up there was actually receiving from the, let's see, I have my notes here someplace. Ducting note, here it is, from the... Couldn't write it down. Okay, one of these days I'll learn how to write. Anyhow, Kings County, Kings County Radio Club, which is in New York, which is about 120 miles away from the Raytheon Repeater Tower, and it was clear as day. Let me reset. And they were talking about a picnic that's coming up, and bring $20 worth of food or the equivalent thereof, homemade, et cetera, et cetera. And they were coming in actually into that repeater clearer than people in the traffic net that was going on at the same time. So turbospheric ducting, when it occurs, can really throw you for a loop, because sometimes you're listening to somebody you think is right next door, and no, they're not. Beyond that, that's about my experience with it, other than some radio stations I've heard from down in the deep south occasionally. But other than that, I will turn this back to Net Control and see what other people have to say. K1DCT, KC1TWR.
All right, Tim. Well, all good stuff, and yes, you occasionally do hear some stuff. In fact, I remember one time, many years ago, I was up in Nashua, New Hampshire, at some sort of school or conference or something, and actually was listening to the Raytheon repeater, and was able to get in there, and this was back in the days when 10 or 20 watts was like big time on 2 meters, was actually able to have a short conversation, so there was definitely something going on. So with that, let's move down to K1RMN, see if he's got any comments, interest, maybe further questions regarding the items on the table. This is K1DCT in the tip stack.
Good evening, this is K1RMN. I would think that 10 meters would be a good candidate for tropospheric ducting. 2 meters seems to do that more often than we want it to. I don't have any scientific background to support that, but I would think based on what I've been seeing lately, that I think that would be fine. As far as anything else, I'm going to stand by and listen for other answers to Kevin's other question. This is K1RM, and back to Nat.
All right, very good, Bob. Thank you. Yeah, I am certainly no propagation expert, and I'm trying to read and listen, read about it in the handbook here. And what I've found so far is that signals may remain very strong over distances of 1,000 miles or more, and higher frequencies are more sensitive to ducting, but it may also affect the lower bands. So I think it's certainly possible on 10 meters. In fact, I'd look forward to the day when you could hear something on 10 meters. Let's go down to David, KC1LTF. This is K1DCT in the tip stand.
Hello, it's very nice to meet you. And sorry, Kevin, I don't really know much about the question. I can't really answer it. And I still don't know how to contact you, Kevin. I'll still be glad to help you with your antenna. I haven't been on in a while just because I've been working and taking care of my dad. I missed a couple of these nets because I wasn't looking at the time, but now I'm downstairs with my dad, and I looked at the time, and I ran upstairs. It was so windy, and I got my radio ready and stuff. Just wanted to say hi to you guys, see how everyone was doing. I don't really have much to say besides that. Nice to hear from everyone. K1, this is K1LTF, back to the net.
Hi, David. Well, fine business. Certainly glad you checked in. Make sure you stick around and listen. I'm going to venture a guess that nobody here is really an expert about this. As I mentioned, I'm kind of reading what I can here out of the handbook, but I can tell by your call sign you're a newcomer. So, there's plenty of things to learn, plenty of time to get it done. So let's go see what my fellow Prestonian has to say. We'll go down to Jerry, KC1KLW, K1DCT in the tip stand.
KC1DCT, KC1KLW. Good evening, David, and everyone else on the net, tip's net. Yes, my question was, the operation of repeater last night was doing all sorts of unexpected things, and I just had a lot of questions as to what was going on. So basically, just have an open question as to if anyone can explain what precisely was going on with the repeater last night, and don't have to dive into it too deeply, but a superficial explanation would suffice for now. Thank you, and KC1KLW, back to net.
All right, very good. Well, as I mentioned, I'm certainly no expert on this, but I did also find a little piece here about sporadic E, which has to do with the E layer of the ionosphere, and says it can support contacts more than 2,000 miles on 144, and so it could have been a little sporadic E, which I won't go into a lot of detail what it all is, but it does happen, and it's another one of those nice phenomena. So And let's see, nobody really talked much about the state police thing, but I'll throw something out there. I do remember those days, Kevin, when I had a bunch of those frequencies plugged in to the scanner, so you could know what the state police were doing, and you could know when they were going to show up at your buddy's house. So, with that, Kevin, I'll cycle back to you, just to make sure you got what you were expecting. K1DCT in the tip stack.
Yeah, Dave, I think that was pretty helpful, and based on that thing you read that said regarding tropospheric ducting 1,000 miles or more, that may well be what it was. I just, was thinking that that would be an awfully long, wide, geographically speaking, inversion layer. And, sporadic E tends to happen during meteor showers a lot. And the meteors, I guess, ionize the layer of the atmosphere, or something like that. And you get very brief snippets of really incredible propagation. Somebody said, made reference in their comments to tropospheric ducting happening more often than we wish it would. I kind of disagree with that. I like tropospheric ducting. It can be a little challenging, particularly in repeater operation, but it also can be kind of fun to work some faraway repeaters. And as best I can remember, the simple explanation, let me reset. The simple explanation of tropospheric ducting, it's not turbo ducting, Tim. It pertains to the troposphere, which is the layer of the atmosphere closest to the ground. The troposphere usually being about 10,000 meters, but down by the equator, it usually goes up to about 20,000 meters. Anyway, it's basically when you have two air masses, one on top of each other, two different air masses, and the signals kind of ride along the layer between the two air masses. So, like last night, we had a lot of low clouds and fog close to the ground, and I guess clear air up above. Out in Oregon, we used to see it a lot. You'd have, it would be 45, 50, 55 degrees along the shoreline by the ocean, but up about 5,000 feet, particularly in the certain times of year, the air would be like 95 degrees, really hot summer type air. And between those two layers, the signals would just sort of travel along and go for miles and miles. And I can tell a couple of tropospheric ducting stories, maybe, or maybe not, because I'm sure people have other things they might want to talk about. But yeah, thank you, Dave. That was helpful and thought-provoking. K6PDG back to Nats.
All right, well, very good. I'm looking at the pictures here in the handbook, because I like pictures. It does show, warm front, cold front, all that weather stuff. So that's what usually invokes it. So, because we did have sort of a cooler few days, weekend and into Tuesday, and then, today, I won't say it got hot, but it got different. So I think this is a good time, since everybody's had their say at this point, to see if there are some further check-ins. Are there any further check-ins for the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet? Please come now. This is Kilo 1 Delta, Charlie Tango, your next call.
November, Kilo, 1 Victor. Steve, Coventry, no questions. Just listening, just got up.
Oh, all right, Steve. Well, I'll give you a little instant service here, and, we're going to cycle through again. But I don't know how long you've been listening. I heard you say you just got here, but I don't know if you had any comments about tropospheric ducting or troposcatter or anything along those lines. If you want to jump in, say a few words.
NK1V. Yeah, tropospheric ducting, probably not pronounced right. I've experienced it, but never been able to use it to any... I mean, I've gotten some strange things coming over at different times and stuff on, you know, FM, VHF stuff. The scatter, I may or may not have experienced it. Don't really know. But I've never been able to be in an opportunity where I was set up to use it to, you know, do some playing around, which would be nice. I do kind of try to observe the best I can, see any changes such as that I might be able to use to do something really cool, like get a hold of somebody far away on a frequency you usually can. But other than that, that's all I got on the subject. Back to Matt, NK1B.
All right, well, very good. All right, so I think from what I understood, Kevin was relatively satisfied. So since we don't have any other questions, unless I'm mistaken, and that only happened once, I'll throw something out there and just see what people think. And a couple of things I came up with, and I'll roll them together, I guess, are kits and homebrew. Several of us were around, during the heat kit boom, and there was all, you could build anything from amateur radio to probably a xylophone in a kit form. Of course, that stuff is all gone as far as purchasing it kit form, unless you can find one that's stored away unbuilt. But I wonder if anybody, likes to build kits or maybe homebrew from scratch. Let's get that out there and stir it around a couple times. KC1TWR, you're first on the list. K1DCT in the tip stand.
Well, thank you, Dave. I have not built anything from a kit since I was a little kid, and that was electronics, so it doesn't quite qualify. The last HamFest I went to, which was the CARA, C-A-R-A HamFest, over in Newtown last Sunday, there was one person who had quite a collection of kits that had yet to be built. I was sorely tempted to pick up one or two of them. Everything from a small PA amplifier, a 40-meter CW kit, kits of that nature, so quite interesting. Nowadays, I think a lot of people, unfortunately, when they think of kits, they're thinking of, like, computers, plug and play, you just buy a card, slap it in. But I know what you're referring to, it's a lot more granular than that. I actually wanted to finish the discussion on the what happened for Jerry's benefit with Peter last night, so I'm going to spend just a moment talking about that. What you heard, Jerry, was that when the repeater is always listening, and it may hear something coming in like it did last night from Kings County, and there's no PL zone, so it will hear it. It'll put it out on the Kenwood repeater speaker, those right there, but it will not retransmit it out on its output frequency. However, when somebody calls in on the NTS net and hears the tone, it opens it up, it captures their signal and retransmits it. When they get done talking, the retransmitting is still going, but the CTS is the signal, the push-to-talk signal has dropped. So now you're going to hear just that snippet of the other conversation being tropospherically ducting in before the repeater has a chance to actually shut off the transmitter. So that's why you kept hearing those little snippets coming in last night. And as far as turbo ducting, yes, not turbo ducting. I apologize for that, Kevin. I know you're smack me upside the head if I keep saying that. Now let me reset. Okay, so the we talked about meteor scatter and so forth, but meteor scatter, bouncing off of meteors is similar to the people who are bouncing signals off of satellites. Satellites know when they're coming, know when they're going to be, and people can actually track them with the 2-meter, 70-centimeter little handheld antenna and be able to converse with somebody for, you know, 3 to 5 minutes, however long they can contact. With meteor showers, scatter, sometimes we know when meteors are coming, and sometimes we don't know when there's a batch of them coming, so it's a surprise. And with that, I think I covered everything I was going to say. Oh, and David, KC1LTF, good meeting you at the picnic. And I hope you had fun watching Chuck with his Benjamin Franklin lightning alarm device. And with that, I'll go back to net control. This is KC1TWR.
All right, very good, Kim. I didn't realize you had more. I apologize. Maybe I should have gone through again just to let everybody kick it around one more time. You know, it's open if you want to go back to something. Certainly open. You can rehash something anytime you'd like. And I like to think of PL as like a gate. You know, you have a fence yard and you have a gate. Outside the gate, there's a dog that wants to come in. And it can't get in until you trigger the PL tone, you open the gate, and then the dog can come in. Whether it has the right PL tone or not, it's still going to be there. So, maybe not the best analogy, but that's all that PL is the gate. And once you open the gate, the dog can come in, the squirrel, the bear, whatever else. So, it's up to you to mind the gate. So, with that bad analogy, we'll go down to KE6PDG and see what he has to, if he has any more follow-up about Troppo, kits, homebrew. Over to you, Kevin. K1DCT in the tips net.
All right, very fine. And we got Steve in here, so that's good, too. Yeah, I have not done any kits. I do remember the day, even though I'm not ancient. I'm working on it, but I'm not quite ancient yet. I do remember the day when just about every electronics catalog, ham radio or not, had these kits and other kinds of kits in it. And it didn't matter whether it was Lafayette Radio or Radio Shack or what it was, but I never did any of those, and I think the only homebrew thing I ever put together would be homebrew antennas, which of course are always fun. I'll do my Troppo stories real quick. One is one I've told a few times here, I think even the other night on one of the repeaters, but some years ago I was standing in Salem, right close to where this repeater is, Salem, Connecticut, and we had some ducting, and I was actually talking into a repeater in Georgia and chatting with one of the users on that repeater. I was actually talking directly into their repeater down in Georgia. So that's an example of one of the fun things, or how tropospheric ducting can really carry your signal to strange places. The other one, which is kind of fun, which I haven't recalled often or that often, but was living out in Coos Bay, Oregon, which of course is on the coast. I was monitoring the local Coos Bay repeater, and I don't remember whether I put my call sign out or I heard somebody call QRZ, whatever, but I got a QSO going with someone who had shown up on the repeater, Turned out he was on a Princess Line cruise ship 300 miles out in the Pacific Ocean, 300 miles west of the Oregon coast, and was standing on the deck of the cruise ship with a handheld, probably 5 watts, I assume, or 4 watts maybe, and was talking into our repeater in Coos Bay, Oregon, clear as day, as somebody said earlier. So I do think ducting is kind of fun. K6PDG, back to net.
Oh, very good, Kevin. Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, that is a long haul, but, you know, you're over the ocean and no obstacles. You know, definitely not line of sight, but over the horizon. And, you know, propagation's a whole fun thing. And, to know it all, I think, would be monumental task, but fun stuff. So let's get on to K1RMN and see what Bob has to say about follow up on Tropo, kids, homebrew, or maybe you come up with some other question of great interest to the group. K1RMN, K1DCT in the tip stand.
Yeah, this is K1RMN. Don't really have too much more on any of the tropospheric stuff other than I have used a sat phone to call from Kuwait back to Connecticut, but it's a little different, and thanks to that satellite it worked, but I'll leave that one alone. Kit-wise, when I was a teenager, I built a Heath Kit signal generator, built a Heath Kit volt-ohm meter, and I also built one of their stereo amps. Had a lot of fun doing that with my dad, and built a lot of power supplies over the years, 12 volts, 24s, plus and minus 15s for different projects, so had a bunch of carcasses around the old house for a long time, and just used to put something together if I needed it, but that's most of the kit stuff that I did back then. Haven't done anything recently, just prefer to buy it already done. And anything else I really don't have? I am going to say 73 because I've got to move on and take care of some stuff here at the house, so I'll try to be listening on the side, but this is K1RMN, back to net.
All right, Bob, well, thanks for the comments, and good to hear you. Drop back in if you're available later. If I run through the list again, I'll call you if you don't answer. Understand, places to be and people to do. So, with that, let's get on to KC1LTF. If you have any questions or follow-up on anything you've heard so far tonight, go ahead, K1DCT in the tip stand.
I'm interested in becoming an electrical engineer, so my whole life I've looked at, but nothing serious. It was like calculators and clocks, little soldering, like hot stuff like that. It was a lot of fun. I actually ordered a kit recently for CW, just a small chip and a bag of components that you put together. It was really cheap from China, still waiting for it to come in. And thanks, Tim. Thanks for inviting me to the picnic. It was a lot of fun. It was great to meet you guys. And I love the Benjamin Franklin static generator. I love stuff like that. It's intriguing to me. Quick reset. I'm pretty new to radio, so the only things I've built aren't antennas, and I'm using an antenna I built right now, the coax dipole, and I'm currently working on a Dodge, and I hope to finish that soon. That's just about all I have. Thanks, everyone. A1, 2, 8, 1, LCF, back to the net.
All right, David, well, certainly, thank you for those comments, and, you know, a bag of parts is a fun place. So, I've built kits, I've built stuff from scratch, made my own PC boards, built my own enclosures, cut the sheet metal and bent it. In my early days, in tech college, and then in industry, prefabbing, prototyping stuff. So, it wasn't all amateur radio, or wasn't all radio even. But a lot of good stuff out there. But it is nice to. I like the kits because you have all the parts. And you have a PC board. You don't have to go scrounging and hunting. And as Kevin mentioned, there used to be electronics stores all over the place, and there aren't now. Of course, there is the, as Tim would say, the interweb, so you can order everything, but I like it when it all comes in a bag. So let's see what Jerry's got to say about what's been going on so far. KC1 KLW K1 DCT in the TIPSnet.
Yeah, KC1 DCT. I have built a few things in my younger days. Power supplies, some circuit boards, and. As part of a job and for hobby as well. Some power supplies, some circuit boards, digital, some analog. Not a lot, just some. I've done a lot of repairs down to component levels. I've done a lot of that. And I do appreciate the conversation tonight and get to know who has all the skills out there. That's going to be a treasure trove of information for me. I know who to tap on the shoulder for some questions. This is KC1 KLW in Preston, Jerry, and back to Ned.
All right, Jerry, well, you're right. This is a good forum to find out who knows what about what. And, we got information to share and, skill sets. So, people need help with, whatever, getting something repaired, throwing an antenna up, all good to know. It's tough to know everything, I can tell you that. So let's see what Steve has to say about all this. I'm sure he's done it all. NK1V, K1DCT, and the TIPSnet.
NK1V. I probably have tried it all, and I've got a big box of things that don't work, and a big mess of wires and twisted things to prove it. As far as actual kits, I've never really, I may have done some stuff as a kid, Radio Shack things, but I never really recall doing any kind of kits. I do a lot of homebrew stuff, especially antennas. I hate to buy any kind of interface or adapter. I usually try to make up with whatever information I can gather, whatever that's needed for that, any kind of mic changeover, connecting something that really is normally expected to be connected to its partner. And then I'm also, one of my things I want to start doing is transformers, on and balance and stuff, different ratios and stuff. So we're doing some, I've purchased a couple and I've made a couple basic ones, but I'd really like to get a little more into that because those sure are handy for interesting antenna configurations. You can do a lot with something like that. There was something else I wanted to say. Oh, yeah, so far as building things, though, I do, let me reset real quick. With the summer winding down, one of the things that myself and the grandkids and all enjoy is Halloween stuff. We do quite a, we usually one at a campground or something, we used to do a pretty good setup, and one of the things over the past few years I've built quite a few of is, I guess you call them animatronics, you know, all kinds of active props and so on, using pneumatics and basic PLCs and stuff, and that's been a lot of fun. I'm kind of done with that. There's a couple ones that I'd like to redo and simplify a little bit, because it's a little bit of a trick getting all that to work, but I've had a couple really interesting displays with that, so that's been a lot of fun, and I've learned a lot, and I move a lot, some of that information forward into all my other works with radio stuff now. It seems to consume a little bit more of me. But I do have to start unpacking some of that because we have a camp at the end of September. One of the campgrounds we go to, we're going to do a big Halloween display. So I guess I got to get my multimeter out and start checking some stuff. Back to that, NK1B.
All right, very good, Steve. Well, you can never have enough multimeters. I have a collection of those, too. So, very good. Let's see, I'm looking at the time here. I'm going to make another quick call here, and then we're going to move into the second section. So, is there anyone like to check in to the TIPSnet? This is Kilo 1 Delta Charlie Tango. Dave in Preston, you're net control.
Whiskey 1 Julia, ask your papa. John, City of Groton.
Well, good evening, John. I figured it was about that time. Wonder if, how long you've been listening, if you have any comments about anything or a question.
I haven't been listening long enough to have any valuable contribution, so I just got in the door about 10 minutes ago, and listening since. I miss Radio Shack. That's all I'll say. I do agree with some of the stations out there that it is nice to actually go into a store or whatever and physically feel and actually handle and do a little bit of playing with what you're going to buy. Buying something on HRO and on the internet, to me, is a little bit of a gamble, but unfortunately we have to do that these days because that's pretty much all there is. W1JOP.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, you know, one of the things I built, I'm not sure where it is at the moment. Oh, there it is a lightning detector. It was an article in QSD, and there was no board made, there was nothing, so I just took the parts list into one of the last surviving electronic stores. I gave them the whole parts list, I gave them my phone number, I said, get everything on that list, put it in a bag, and call me when you're ready. And they did, and I built it, and it appears to work. So, cool little device. Let's see. So, we're going to move into the second section. Is there anyone out there that has... Excuse me. Okay, is there anyone out there that has any announcements of upcoming events or items of interest for the amateur community? Please call now. This is K1DCT in the TIPSnet.
C1TWR.
KC1TWR recognized. Go ahead with your comments, announcement.
Thank you, Dave. Actually, I have quite a few here. First of all, a reminder that the Hiram Percy Maxim birthday celebration begins on August 31st and wraps up on Monday, September 8th. So just a reminder about that. Secondly, there's going to be a tech class for those who may be listening
that's a Friday morning, 9 a.m. So if you're part of that group that's going to help them with that, it's Friday. And last but not least, next week I think we'll talk about amateur radio and the weather, seeing as we have storms starting to come up the coast, and how we can use the amateur radio with inclement weather and what have you. And with that, back to Night Control, KC1TWR.
All right, anyone need any follow-up questions on the announcements that Tim brought to us? Please call now. All right, very good. Well, we'll move into the third section of it, which is sell, swap, seeking, trading, amateur radio related items. Is there anyone out there that has anything that fits into those categories? Please call now. This is Kilo 1 Delta Charlie Tango in the tip stand. KC1TWR recognized. Go ahead with your items.
Thank you, Dave. I'm beginning to feel like I'm hugging the radio here. First of all, the promised radio from last week. I'm offering up for talking about hits and projects and so forth. I have a two-meter Yaesu FT2400H. It's a two-meter radio, mobile. Comes with the mounting bracket mounted in the car. Comes with the MH-27 mic, which has the buttons on the front of it, and on top for going up and down channels, which is good, because now here's the project part. The dial in the front of the radio itself for going up and down channels has something wrong with it. It'll go for a little bit and then skip channels, and then maybe go down channels while you think you're going up. So that's one problem. The other problem is that the display does not have a backlight any longer. And the good news is that's the radio I've been using all evening, so you know that it can get on the air. Here it is. And because this is a project radio, I'm not looking for a lot of money or maybe for an exchange or something. So if you're at all interested in Yaesu FT2400H 2-meter radio, go ahead and contact me. The other thing that I have is I stopped in and saw Frank. I believe it's KB1FBM. He's the one who helps us out in using the Gales Ferry Firehouse for the auctions. He recently, because of his health, had to get rid of his pickup truck that he's now using, and bought himself a used minivan, like Plymouth Dodge minivan. And unfortunately, even with the setup inside, he can't fit his radio in there because it, you know, just won't fit as a solid radio. He needs a 2-meter radio that has a remote head that he can then mount up where he can get at it. So if anybody knows one that you might be able to purchase or obtain from them, you can contact him. And if you need his email, you can go through me and I can get it for you. Back to Night Control, KC1TWR.
Oh, very good. Anyone have any comments or questions for Tim on the items he listed? Please call now. K1DCT in the tip stand. Well, I do have a question, not about those items, Tim, but a few weeks ago, there was, I believe it was Jim Seaton, had a 20-meter beam or something. Is that still available?
Last I spoke with Jim, yes it is. It's in his front yard. He got that from someone else who said, here, maybe you can use it. And ran away after he dropped it off. So I don't know the status of it, but yeah, you can get a hold of him. Or if you want, I can help you make contact with him. But last I knew, he still had it and was still trying to find a home for it. And I believe the price was, I don't think it was even a cup of coffee. So. Back to night control, KC1TWR.
Okay, yeah, I might look you up on that just to see if I can see what it is and if it's something I can use. So, all right, very good. Well, that brings us to pretty much the end of the net. So I'm going to... throw out last call, so we're going to... We're going to put the bar stools on the bar, tap shut off, and we're going to start sweeping up, but you can still jump in. Last call for the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips Net. This is Kilo 1, Delta, Charlie Tango, you're net control.
K6PDG, coming.
K6PDG, recognized. Go ahead with your comment, Kevin.
Real quick, I was sort of touched on those great electronics stores that we all knew and loved, and the first thing I did whenever I moved to a new town was find the electronics store. I just wanted to mention, because a lot of people who have lived around here for a while probably remember a little TV and electronics shop here in Norwich over on Sherman Street, Sherman and Lafayette, called Mashasik's. And it was owned by Mr. Mashasik. I can't remember his first name. I want to say it was Mike. And he closed the place up and retired probably about 20 years ago, rough guess. Well, I was at breakfast up at the Moose Lodge in Basra a couple of weeks ago, and who walked up with his hand outstretched to say hi? But Mr. Mashasik, he's still around, alive and kicking, retired, happy. I think he's active with veterans groups and stuff. So if anybody remembers Mashasik, the old TV shop where you brought your television or your CB radio or your scanner or your clock radio or whatever to get fixed, he's still around and doing well. He's just not in business anymore. K6PDG, back to that. I did not ask him how old he is now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, outside of electronics stores being around, radio and TV shops, I mean, there used to be, you know, several in you know, the bigger towns and spread around. So, you know, I don't think anybody even fixes TVs anymore. Or I should say consumers don't have TVs fixed anymore. They just toss them and go get another one. So, but yeah, those were good places too, because they always had a good supply of, you know, resistors, especially bigger wattage resistors and stuff. So, good stuff. I already threw out last call, but I'll open it up one more time as I'm sweeping out the front door. Last call for Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips Net, K1DCT, your net control.
Here is Kilo Zero, Juliet Echo Bravo, Josh and Groton, good evening.
Good evening, Josh. You have any comments or questions or anything before we close the net?
K0JB, not really. It's raining out there, and I apologize for missing the net. I was tied up with the main potato net, and so it is what it is. 7-3s, and it's K0JB, back to net control.
All right, well, no problem, Josh. You missed a good one, but I'm sure it'll come around again. You know, we all have other things to do. Can't always be here. I know I've certainly missed a few. So with that, I thank all those that checked in, had questions, comments, and look forward to next week, see what next week's net brings. This is Kilo 1 Delta Charlie Tango. Thanks to all those that participated. Thanks to all those that stood by as we conducted the net. The Tri-City Amateur Radio Club sponsors this net, has their meeting on the second Tuesday of each month at the American Red Cross office at 1031 at 1031, Route 32 in Montville. Meeting starts at 7:30 and open to all interested persons, licensed or not. Information about the club may be found at www.tricityarc.com. We thank John W1AN for the use of this repeater. This net will meet again next Wednesday at 7 p.m. on this frequency. I'll now return the repeater to regular amateur use. This is Kilo 1 Delta Charlie Tango. Good evening and 7:30.